Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a Master of Arts in Communications to advance careers in media, PR, and journalism. Fuller part-time options, 518-454-5143. And Rosenbaum Media Group, a digital communications agency integrating high-definition video into PR, marketing, advertising, and social media campaigns. Big-picture thinking for local and national clients. RosenbaumMedia.com. From Northeast Public Radio, this is The Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
Sex and tweets and drones.
Again.
We'll talk about all that and more on The Media Project. Welcome, folks. I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union in Albany, here with Ira Fussfeld, longtime publisher of the Daily Freeman in Kingston, New York.
Do those three names describe the three of us?
Sex, and tweets, and drones.
And I've been known to drone on.
I was going to say.
That would make you a Tweety, I believe. Dr. Alan Chartok, the CEO of Northeast Public Radio, political scientist by training, columnist, commentator, et cetera, et cetera. So we're the professor and the publisher and the editor here. Heard from Sea to Shining Sea. You know, I found out last week that this program is heard in Alaska. It's heard in South Carolina and Texas and here in
there is no explaining bad taste.
I was just going to say the same thing.
We welcome you all anyway. Now that we know that actually one of the reasons why people like this show is there's a new study that reveals that 75% of Americans get news at least daily, including 6 out of 10 adults under the age of 30. So for those of you who thought that young people are not interested in the news, at least 6 in 10 are paying attention to the news.
If you were to believe it.
If you believe that's true.
And of course, half the people don't vote in elections, at least in our most popular elections, like presidential elections. So maybe the same half that is voting is the same half who does get the news. On the other hand, maybe the half that's voting is the half that doesn't get the news and therefore has no business voting because they don't know what they're talking about.
But where are they getting the news from?
Yeah.
A variety of sources, it turns out. You know, we've been going along this new study from Initiative of the American Press Institute and the Associated Press Center for Public Affairs Research at the University of Chicago. This study says that it is not that young people are going to certain types of sources and old people are going to certain other types of sources. It is that people go to different sources for news depending upon the topic of the story. That is, whether it's sports or science, politics, health, the arts, that determines where they go for a story.
And it's interesting because I was just reading to my friend Ira before you came late a story about how so many Americans are giving up cable connections.
Aha.
So that's fascinating.
Because they
And Ira came back and set me straight. You want to do it again here, Ira?
I don't remember what I said.
Well, what you said, I was impressed by it for a change. And what you said was that you knew young people who were doing it all through the internet.
Yeah, and people are on the internet. They're on Flixster. They're on Hulu. And my son is in the business, as they say. He's in the network TV business. And so every show that he goes on, I look at the ratings. And the program that he does now called New Girl, which is on Fox, has a fairly low TV rating, but it has a very high, I think the highest among all the Fox programs, of the DVR rating. So people have got a variety of ways that they're watching their favorite programs.
My 18-year-old daughter has certain shows that she only watches on her laptop because we don't take them or we don't get them for some reason on cable. And certain shows she has only watched in time shifting. I mean, most young people now just have no idea when a program is supposedly airing.
Isn't that interesting?
Because it's released and they just watch it when they want to.
And yeah, of course, the advertisers are concerned because when you time shift, you can fast forward through the commercial.
Sure. Now, I get up, as you guys know, unlike you, slovenly people, I get up at 3 o'clock every morning And so therefore, I
it's
go
an
to
illness, folks. He's not that kind of doctor. yes, go right
therefore,
ahead.
Therefore, I go to sleep very early. If I could, I'd go to sleep at 7:30, usually about 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, all the primetime stuff is out, and people say to me all the time, well, why don't you just DVR it? Well, first of all, I don't have time to watch it, even when I'm on the great bike. But then the question is, how do I do it? I didn't know how to do all that stuff. That's tough.
But you said something interesting about people are going to variety of sources depending upon what the news story is.
That's right.
So that sort of makes sense. And if we stick with the cable world, although other niche publications, you know, if I want to read a story, if I want to hear about guns, there are gun magazines. If I want to watch about golf and to the exclusion of everything else, there's the Golf Channel. But now you have the quote-unquote major cable news outlets. We'll identify them as CNN, Fox, and MSNBC. And as we speak with this mystery of the plane continuing, CNN, the cable news network, has turned into the cable speculation network. And they're doing nothing else but the plane, but getting very high ratings.
But yes, it's working
for them. People are interested, but you're seeing virtually no other news on that channel.
It is so interesting, though, that every time there is a major thing, the Boston Marathon bombing.
People
or
turn to CNN.
CNN goes through the roof.
Even did you hear about the Fox network correspondent who got in trouble for saying on the air on Fox that she's been watching CNN for the news?
So that said, is CNN, I mean, I feel like CNN is doing what is right for CNN because it's seeing that its ratings are soaring. But
CNN has grown 68% in total viewers, 79% growth in the crucial adult 25 to 54.
During this time frame,
that's
right. But they are doing nothing else but the plane.
Right.
As we speak, the plane has not been found. And essentially, other than bits and pieces, there haven't been a lot of hard news developments. So most of the time, they're reviewing what they've already said. And even worse, in my view, bringing on people to say, well, what do you think? Do you think it's this? Do you think it was a fire?
Well, what's so bad about that?
Well, you tell me.
I'll tell you. And I will tell you, Ira, if you're just giving a second to...
Sure, because I'm droning.
The poor guy is a shrinking pile. He can't get his words in.
Here, and that is that if you were the news director at CNN, what the hell do you think you'd be doing? You know, you say, okay, this works. We're up 68%, as Rex says, and we'll have some more of that. Thank you.
So basically, Alan, your point of view is that if it works, go ahead and do it.
No, my point of view as a professional political scientist and a social scientist with a PhD is to tell you guys that that's what they are doing. It's not to endorse it, Rex. And that was a cheap shot. It was so typical of the way you operate.
Well, you know, I just wanted to make sure that since this is a program of press critique, that I thought you would sometimes, you know, take issue with people.
Right, right.
But, you know, there is certainly an understandable desire on the part of the public for this. It's a great mystery with the main character missing. And
we all project ourselves into it. Everybody gets on a plane, you know, like Charlie on the MTA. Did he ever return? No. He never returned.
But
his fate will still be unlearned.
He'll make forever.
Yeah, right.
Streets of Boston.
It's all
I think the point that Ira's making is that what is airing, therefore, in the absence of information, is speculation.
Well, sure. And you know what? I would have, generally speaking, I don't think those of us who are in the news business would advocate airing speculation. But at the outset of this story, it was a fair topic to explore because the plane had disappeared. What do you think? So they laid out the variety of scenarios. Well, that was over a week ago.
And they didn't have them all. My scenario was a giant spaceship came down and sucked them up.
Listen, if you've watched James Bond movies, and a lot of these movies were way ahead of their times, and things that were in these kinds of movies actually happen. But now we're 10 days in as we speak. They're still airing speculation. And the only reason that I can see that they're doing it is because they're getting views.
They're getting the ratings.
You are so haughty. You are so...
Well, wait a
minute.
You
are so haughty. You're so something than thou. I mean, what you are is a guy who ran a newspaper for years. You wanted to sell copies. You say they shouldn't speculate. Well, la-di-da. You know, they're all speculating. They're all doing it now, including the major newspapers. The gray newspapers are all doing it also.
By the way, I'm not saying that I wouldn't do it differently, particularly because CNN was ratings challenged and they've seen an opening here and they're...
And they will be ratings challenged again.
That's correct. But difference between print and this is that the front page of the New York Times could have two or three stories about this, and the op-ed pages could have commentary and speculation, but it is not to the exclusion of all other news.
I think that's a very good point.
You walk around with your noses up in the air.
Well, you do it yourself. No, wait a minute. You're not doing it yourself.
There's a difference between cable and there's a difference between us. We're good. They're bad. Come on. What's the matter with you guys?
Well, then why don't you just go wall-to-wall coverage here on WAMC? I mean, that would probably raise your ratings. You don't do it because it's the wrong thing to do.
Oh, yeah, you don't care the size of your audience.
I'm
not being held responsible for how much advertising we sell like you are or like Ira was.
Of course you are.
Of course not.
Yeah, if you don't raise money, you're off the air.
Well, that's true, but there's a balance here.
My point exactly. Thank you very much. I'll take the check now.
Yeah, I mean, my point is that it is a demonstration of the difference between the two media, the print in my example and CNN. And you can only have one thing on the air at any given time on when you're on the air. I mean, David Letterman used to do a joke where he would stare at the camera and make funny faces and play with his tie, and it was just stupid. And then he'd say, I'm the only thing on CBS right now. And that was the point. The only thing on CNN right now is this. If you're interested in it, fine. They're feeding the masses nothing but rehashed junk because there's nothing really new to report.
Pomposity of your position. Will you listen, sir?
Yes, sure.
The pomposity of your position and that of Rex. You guys, the newspapers, we all know what's happening in newspapers. You know, forget about it. And you know, you take every opportunity to take a shot at everybody else when you did the very same thing yourselves.
No, not at all.
We did not, in fact. That's our point. Yeah. I think that's a bland and false accusation on your part.
False?
Absolutely.
When was the last time the Times Union of Albany, even with the most significant story that I can't even think of right now, had every single page of that with that story?
Because you have all of that space for all those other boring stories.
There's 24 hours a day. CNN could do the same thing.
Come on now. Let's be serious for a second here.
Okay.
Why do you think people are tuning into CNN in massive groups?
To find out about what's going on.
Into Ukraine and to see whether we're going to have a nuclear war or not.
Okay, so you're defending CNN. So you're saying that whatever people want, we should give it to them.
Yeah, because
that's democracy.
You're saying that they should just cast aside all the other important news. In fact, speaking of Ukraine, they have cast that aside.
They've cast aside all of the political and governmental news, the stuff that would be on the air.
Well, that's what you were saying.
Have a penchant for putting words into my mouth.
We'll go back and review the tape, as Mario Cuomo used to say. The fact is that they are doing hour after hour of reporting about the missing plane, right? And what we're talking about here is that is not an appropriate thing for a major news organization.
Go back and give a lecture at Pew on that. But Rexy, let's go back and talk about how all of this thing started. We started by saying that CNN's ratings stunk. They come in third of the major news
Third.
But when this happens, they go up to the top of the pack. You're the president of CNN or you're the program director, and the people are saying, we want more on the plane. And you give it to them.
You're the same guy who used to criticize us in print for dumbing down America. Rex would say, we've got to give them some broccoli, but we're also giving them some candy. You're the one who complains about some of the tabloids and how they report the news sensationally.
Right.
Aren't they giving their readers what they want?
And now CNN is giving readers what they want, and you think it's just fine. Instead of reporting all the other important news that's going
on during the day. You know full well, Rex Smith, you know full well that that's not true. You know that CNN is regularly playing stories about Ukraine. You are taking a concept and you're validating it yourself and saying this is the way it is when it isn't that way.
In a typical hour of Anderson Cooper, 8 o'clock prime time, he will do 55 minutes on the plane, and then the last 5 minutes he'll say, here's so-and-so who will give us some of the other headlines.
And there's not enough news out of this to justify
that. Right.
And it is not important enough to the future of our republic, if you want to put it that way, to justify that. I'm saying they have abandoned their standards of what is important. They've abandoned their news judgment in pursuit of ratings. And it's working. And so I guess you could say if your goal is to get enough revenue to sustain the CNN for the coming dry months, maybe it's the right thing.
I'll give you one other example.
No, but before you do, I want to say, Rex, I'm going to go along with you and Ira on one thing. you know, the paper does a whole bunch of other things besides, you know, this major story. But I have to say, I can't tell you this morning because the paper didn't get here.
Well, what do you know? You could have, of course, gone online.
One other CNN anecdote. I happened to see at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, as we speak yesterday, Wolf Blitzer comes on the air, and his appeal to that network, I don't understand. But he said, we have new developments in the plane, and they put up on the screen 4 or 5 bullet points. I guarantee you not one of those things that he labeled as new developments were new developments.
But
so they were disingenuous.
The 23-year-old producer wrote that.
Well, I'm supposed
to read.
And who's responsible for it then? We're just supposed to say it's okay because they're in.
We talked about a couple of weeks ago about the Sunday Night crew that wrote a lousy headline, and it was probably written by some weekend staffer. But at the end of the day, the news organization is responsible for what it puts in the printer on the air.
Okay, all right. Let's move on.
We promised sex, drones, and tweets, and so yes, we've got to get there. This is the Media Project from Northeast Public Radio. Alan Shartok, Ira Fussfeld, and Rex Smith here.
That would be the professor, the publisher, and the editor.
Let's have sex next.
Thank you for joining us, and if you care to contribute to our conversation, you can email us media@wamc.org. Sex. Is that what you asked?
Have sex next.
Fine. Here we go. The Los Angeles Times has fired an investigative reporter after disclosure of, quote, an inappropriate relationship.
What does that mean? He's having sex with somebody, his source?
With a source. Okay. I presume that is the case.
We presume it.
So here is the question. Is it truly inappropriate? Do you think that you can have an intimate relationship and still write fairly about something? How does sex make something inappropriate when you can have a friendship, when you could have many different kinds of relationships with people, right?
Do you speak from personal experience?
Well, I've had friends that I've had to write about, and when I was a young person and not long before my marriage, I may have sometimes had to cover people that I was quite familiar with.
Yeah, now, so that means that so my question then, Rex, my question then to you is, did you get more or less information out of the source you were
interesting phenomenon. I have a friend who has run a very admirable not-for-profit who says, it's really no good for me to be your friend because I don't get any coverage in the newspaper as a result. Because you bend over backwards.
I use it all the time
when we get in this kind of a tight situation. And so I think that probably the LA Times did the right thing here, but I'm just saying that it is interesting that
Would you have done it? What if somebody called you and said, Mr. Smith, this is Mrs. Jones, and I happen to know that woman you have employed has had an inappropriate relationship with the source that's being mentioned here, what would you do?
Well, I think that a good reporter will take themselves off a beat when
forget about good reporter. This is a different kind of situation. This is a situation where somebody has dropped the dime on one of your reporters.
Yeah. Well, you would have to take into consideration the exact details of it. You would have to say, were you writing
about
this person?
Was it once or twice or was it 100 times?
Was it an ongoing story? Is it something not that kind of detail?
A reporter has to be smart enough to know that if he or she is having a relationship with a source or a public official that they cover, that you must report this to your superior. Albeit, you should know to take yourself off the story.
But if they don't, then you find out about it, Ira?
I think it's a fireable offense.
Okay. Yeah, it can be. This was in reporting about stories involving sexual assaults at Occidental College, a really fine liberal arts college out there. And apparently in reporting about this, the reporter who was doing the story became intimate with one of the people who was a source. So I think there is a point where...
Wasn't there a case several years ago where a news reporter on a Los Angeles television station was having an affair with the mayor?
Correct.
And I can't recall how that ended other than she was no longer on that beat. Did they fire her?
I don't recall. Yeah. We'll have to look into that.
What is it about this country that this stuff, you know, means so much? I think it's each individual case. I think there may be some reporter who is covering somebody who, in fact, gets more information they ever would have had if they weren't doing it that way. You guys are so, as Gerald Ford would say, judgmental.
Well, now, I don't know whether you just said that to be provocative.
If
a news organization has somebody covering someone with whom they're having a relationship, that puts that person's work in doubt, fairly or unfairly. Their credibility is in doubt. You have to believe that there's got to be favoritism or stories written.
There's favoritism every day, and you know it. People know each other. They like each other.
Well,
that goes on all the time.
It's not
fire them all.
Well, there is the human element always, but some cases are more obvious than others.
Next topic, as they used to say in the presidential debates, drones. The New York Daily News used footage taken by a drone in covering the building explosion in New York. The FAA has in the past frowned on media outlets using drone images.
Wait a second. Who was running the drone?
Well, the Daily News hired it. I don't believe that it was...
Hired a drone. You
yes.
can do that?
We just had a St. Patrick's Day parade in Kingston.
Right, drone.
And somebody, not ours, but someone in the community had a drone hovering above.
You're allowed to do that?
Well, that's as of right now. They're going to have an interesting issue coming down beyond the press issue if the skies are proliferating with these things.
They'll be running into each other.
It will be. It'll be quite something. But the press issue really is, are we invading the privacy of people inappropriately if we make use of this stuff?
That genie is out of the bottle.
Is that right?
The answer is yes. We are invading my privacy and yours, Rex. I don't really care because I have nothing to hide. And there are those who do. You're not one of them. I know that. And so, therefore, that genie's out of the bottle. I mean, we just saw a piece in the paper yesterday where it's been disclosed that the NSA can record every single telephone call in a country and maintain them for 30 days and figure out ways that these are calls that they should be monitoring. Hey, if you get on a telephone, I hope you know you're not alone.
I know the answer, but here's the question. The drones don't differ other than they're less expensive and can fly lower than, say, for example, news helicopters.
Yeah.
Look at all of the celebrity weddings where you have the helicopters
sure.
fly over the weddings.
Sure.
Now, the difference, of course...
I remember them from my wedding.
Oh, yeah, they were all over them. The POST,
43 years
the
ago.
The POST sent helicopters.
Well, now, a judge has ruled that the FAA cannot regulate drones. The agency is appealing, so this is undoubtedly going to be decided by
the
court.
Yeah, it's a very interesting...
Not everybody can put a plane up in the air. Why should everybody be allowed to put a drone?
But it's an interesting question. What's a drone and what's like a model aircraft? You know, there are lots of little remote-controlled model aircraft that are just used for recreational purposes, and these drones fly very low. So I think it's going to be a difficult thing to regulate, and as they get more quiet, they're just going to be hovering there, and it could be actually useful for information gathering. We had a story a couple of years ago in which we actually did use aerial photography to shoot a fundraiser outdoors in a backyard for the former Albany Mayor Jerry Jennings.
Right.
And we were able to identify, thanks to telephoto lens, these developers and so on who were funding Mayor Jennings' campaigns in his leisure time.
Yeah. And should have said went over to the governor's $32 million war chest also.
You could say that that was really a bad thing because we were high enough that I don't think they had any idea that they were being photographed.
Well, what about Google Earth? I mean, you can literally take a picture of your backyard and mine.
Can you do it real time?
No, can't do it real time.
Tweets. We promised we'd talk about tweets. Right. BuzzFeed, which you know is basically known for having these clever lists and so on, but BuzzFeed actually has a significant news report, and they are using tweets to report.
What kind of tweets?
Your staff has done this, right?
Yeah, most newspapers are doing it
now. What kind of tweets?
We sent people, for example, who were covering a high school basketball tournament.
Right.
And they literally did a play-by-play. Jones scores, Kingston scores,
There's nothing wrong with that. The question is using it for news gathering.
No, I'm asking you, what's wrong with it for news gathering?
If a person is tweeting, they are making information public. Because they've made it public, does that mean that they're giving permission for it to be used by news organizations?
Yes, the answer is of course yes.
Yep, okay, I'm fine with that. I don't think people understand when they, especially young people, I don't think they understand that social media is out there and that it can be used. Now, it is our...
How can you make an argument before a court that this was supposed to be private when you were tweeting in public?
It's our responsibility then to verify stuff, not just
absolutely.
Print.
No, that's true.
That has been the biggest problem with Twitter.
That is true.
That incorrect information gets up and gets disseminated and occasionally has been flat out wrong.
Yeah.
Well, that's another whole story.
Another whole story.
And right here at WMC, I'm delighted you're here. I'm delighted we're doing this program. It's my tweet.
I'm going to lose some weight as soon as I cut down on my tweets.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, I got to get out of here. So, folks, that's the Media Project. Again, you can
tweet us. You can
email us anyway, media@wmc.org, and we're happy to hear it. And we'll see if we can use some of your comments on next week's program. It might supplant some of the silliness around here. Publisher, the professor, and the editor, that would be Ira Fussfeld, Alan Chartok, and Rex Smith. Thanks for joining us this week on the Media Project.
They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk. Pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it. It's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press. Now you remember Mrs. Sadie Smuggery. She wanted money to buy a new fur coat. To get insurance, she employed skullduggery. She up and cut her husband's only throat. She chopped him into fragments, she stuffed him in a trunk. She shipped it all back yonder to her uncle in Podunk. Now newspaper men meet such interesting people.